You're here on Joy 94.9. Good.
Now, another guest, another Midsummer show that we'll be talking about. So who have we got, Neil?
We have Dirk Holt, who is the creator and devised the show. We were there for Midsummer. Welcome, Dirk.
G'day, everybody. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Now give us your background on who you are and how do you get to this moment in time?
Well, that's a long story. I'll try and give you the cliff notes. I guess I'm a Queensland-based
another performer. Queenslander? The person before was from Queensland?
Yeah, we're taking over Melbourne. Slowly, so suburb by suburb.
You're living here?
Yeah, I've lived in Melbourne now. I moved down at the end of 2011.
Right.
And before that...
Why did you move here?
To find my fortune, like so many of us do. You know, I'd been working as an actor up in Brisbane. I graduated from the University of Southern Queensland up in Toowoomba and was getting lots of gigs in film and TV and music theatre up there, and decided it was time to try and brave the big leagues of music theatre and cabaret in Melbourne, and landed at the Butterfly Club, which was this fairy lights, cabaret, burlesque, kind of crazy, magical lights and sound world, and got a job there as the venue manager.
Oh,
and
okay.
I spent the first few years in Melbourne cutting my teeth in cabaret here in Melbourne and loved every second of it. A few years ago, I decided to change tack, went and got my master's in directing at VCA here, and that was end of 15, and now I'm writing and directing plays. Who knew? I never thought that I'd be a writer. And I say writer loosely because this is a verbatim play, so I haven't written any of these words. These words do not belong to me. But I've hopefully, with a lot of respect, put them in a nice order to bring these characters to life.
Sorry, so where do you get the words from then? I mean, verbatim, obviously, taking some other source.
Yeah, well, with the play that we're bringing to Midsummer this year... We Were There.
We Were There.
Yeah, it's a verbatim play that gives us a female perspective of HIV and AIDS in the 80s and 90s, but not just with women who are living with HIV, but with women who were there, nurses, doctors, scientists,
friends.
Researchers, friends, carers,
yep.
Mothers, sisters. But the women, part of the reason I wanted to write this story is we were going through VCA when I had this moment, we're doing a live art class, and Anne Garrett Wynne-Jones asked us all to stand up for what we believe in, and everybody's standing up for Indigenous rights and queer rights and marriage equality and equality of the sexes, and I was sitting there with my arms crossed and going, struggled to kind of stand up and go, what do I believe in? What do I stand for as an artist? And we had, I think, American Angels in America was coming out, and a whole bunch of new plays in the West End that kind of talk about HIV. And when we look at those plays, they're predominantly about white men who are telling their story, and there's an absence. There's something missing in that story. And also, most of these stories, apart from Holding the Man, are all American as well. So what I wanted to do with this was create a very Australian story and a very different perspective on the experience of HIV and AIDS.
Well, I find it interesting that you're a man looking at the women's perspective of it. Because when I first saw it, I thought, oh, it has to be a woman that's put this together, but it's not.
I used to be a woman.
Yeah, was there one woman in particular that sparked your interest in kind of putting this together? You know, was there one story that you thought, I want to gather others?
No.
No?
No, I saw there was.
Yeah.
Once I started moving through meeting women, and, you know, it was kind of like a phone tree. Once I'd had a great experience with an interview with one person, like more women kept coming forward to say, hey, I'd like to share my story with you as well. And that was just, so inspiring and also incredibly humbling.
Yep.
To be given the trust of these people to kind of take their stories. And they're incredibly intimate, incredibly personal experiences.
So how did you find that first few?
Do you know what? I think it was Dean here at Joy. I was going through transcripts of radio interviews.
Dean Beck?
Yeah, Dean Beck here at Joy. He'd interviewed a whole bunch of women, and it was Yvonne Gardner who was my first interviewee. And, you know, she's got this hello, darling. She's got this great voice, and she's got these replies. She's got all these bangles all over her arms, darling. She's crazy. And I thought, I just have to meet this person, you know. She kind of reminds me of Jeannie Little, you know.
Yeah,
better dressed. if I could say that, I don't know. But yeah, and meeting her was just, I was hooked on bringing this story out. You know, some of the stories that she tells about how people were treated in the early days, in very early days, it's just heartbreaking.
Mm.
And I needed to find a contrast to that. I needed to find the other side of the conversation. You know, there are stories, terrible stories about food trays being left in doorways with the medical staff being so scared about entering a room that they would leave them there for these people to come out and get their own food. But some people who are dealing with, like, you know, Kaposi Sarcoma, they've gone blind. They can smell their food, but they can't find it.
Mm.
And it's just, it's terrible. Now, the nursing... Fraternity?
Mm.
Is it the right word?
Yeah, Let's go with that.
The nurses and the medical professionals who worked there, and specifically a lot of my contacts have come from Fairfield Hospital, which is an infectious diseases hospital. They say that yes, that did happen, and it happened everywhere. But right at the start, no one knew what it was, and you had to protect yourself.
Of course.
You had to protect yourself. And an infectious diseases hospital, it's an infectious diseases hospital. You know, if you've got HIV, it's not the virus that you're going to get, but what about the other disease now that you've got in your body? We didn't know.
Well, that was the thing, is we didn't know.
And that was right, because back in the 80s when it first came out, it was nobody knew exactly what it was.
Mm.
I mean, they didn't know how you got it. You know, it was just a gay disease, and that's how everybody referred to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, David, I mean, the government didn't help at that time, because we had those, you know, those sort of the death sort of, you know, those ads out there.
The Grim Reaper ads,
basically. Yeah. All that sort of stuff came out. And So it took a long time before anybody knew anything real.
And I think one of the people that really knocked down a lot of barriers when Princess Di went into that hospital and she was actually touching the person's hand.
Yeah.
And everyone went, whoa. It really changed a lot.
One person that I wish that I'd had more time to get in contact with, a Grafthorst family, Eve van Grafthorst, as you probably know, was died when she was 10 or 11 years old. She was born premature and had, I think, 11 blood transfusions, and that's how she got HIV.
Oh, right, yeah.
And you can find video of this saint on YouTube, because, you know, she was kicked out of Australia. She got expelled from her kindergarten because she bit another child and they wouldn't let her go to school. So her family took her to New Zealand, where she was welcomed with open arms. And here's this 10-year-old girl going to high schools and teaching teenagers about the virtues of wearing a condom.
Yep.
And you just watch that and just go, whoa.
Mm.
There is something wrong in the world if we can allow a 10-year-old girl to do that kind of thing. So I wish that there was more of her in the story. There's very little to none, actually, because it would be inappropriate without, you know, the permission from the family to talk about those things.
Now, cast?
Cast.
How many women are involved?
4 women.
Yeah.
Playing a multitude of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I've really done pretty well, if I do say so myself. We've got Olivia Monticciolo, Jodie Levisconti, Perry Cummings, and Leah Balch. All of whom are Melbourne-based artists.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting. In fact, Jodie just won, touch wood, has been nominated for a Sydney Theatre Award for her performance as Harry in The Trouble with Harry for Lachlan Philpott's production in Sydney.
Right, okay.
So very exciting.
Yep.
These women are strong and they are passionate about this project as well. It's very exciting.
And how do we see these 4 women? How have you kind of structured it without giving it away of what we're going to see? But what is it? What does it take on the shape of?
That's a really good question. What we're attempting to do is tell these stories in a way that gives the audience an impression that these are not just these women's stories. So there are no names. There are women on stage that are captured in lights. I don't want to say it's a dance piece because it's incredibly text heavy, but there's going to be a lot of movement and there's going to be a lot of light and shape. So it's not heavy in costume, it's heavy in characterization. There won't be character tours of these women. My kind of line is respectfully irreverent is what I like to say. You know, because we're talking about some pretty heavy material, and I would guess that not everyone wants to come along to a play and go, oh, let's talk about AIDS. Oh no, well, let's all have a cry together. And some people do, and it's actually that experience in itself is really cathartic. And the idea of coming together and talking about something is really what the goal of this piece is. You know, stigma here in Melbourne, in Australia, in the world is still a very real thing.
Yeah,
and an opportunity to welcome that conversation in a safe environment. environment, even if it's just an experience where we go, we have an emotional experience together. But it's not. It's there's a lot of laughs.
Yeah, like it's going to be heavy, but of course there's going to be lighter moments.
Oh my god, the stories that these women, you know, this is something that also happened 30 years ago. So the stories came with retrospective. You know, and their own comment on how they think they were back then compared to who they are and what they are now and how far they've come.
Well, I just think it will be fascinating to hear these stories because from a woman's perspective, I think it's a wonderful concept and a great idea. And so congratulations on it.
Thank you.
Now, Chapel Off Chapel.
Amazing venue.
Yep. When does it start?
We start in 2 weeks. We preview on the 22nd and 23rd. No, 23rd and 24th. I should know this by now, right? We preview 23rd, 24th.
I could have told you, but I thought I'd meet you.
Our opening night is the 25th.
Right.
And if you come, I guarantee you there's going to be a great party afterwards because it's Australia Day the next day.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's got the day off.
Yeah.
So come along on opening night. It's going to be a great night.
And it's only running to the 4th of February. So it's
and that's the closing night of the festival, actually.
Right.
So it's a good 2 weeks.
Yep.
So you've got a good chance to come and see it.
Right, okay. So the key is, you know, we're all going to be so busy running around seeing shows and all that, but this is one I think it's really important to, you know, like to have a look at. Mm. So don't let it pass you, people. Go to Midsummer Booking and do it now. What's it called again?
We were there.
We were there.
And I want to, like, add something to that. There's a question that says, we were there. But what this play is about letting you know that these women are still here.
Yep.
They were there then.
Yep.
And they're here now.
Yep.
And they're bloody powerful.
Right. Okay. Dirk, thank you so much for coming in today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And we were there, Chapel Off Chapel, from the 23rd of January.
You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.